care about their proximity?
Because it looks weird.
But there's no camera on today. No. Let the motherfuckers get snuggy if they want to get snuggy. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Let
Nick tickle his elbow if he wants to tickle his elbow.
These are niggas that was in the back of the class clowning everybody.
The Frames Per Second Podcast. Fire.
What's going on? It's your boy Nicky Duce, aka Mr. No Disrespect. You now tune in to the Frames Per Second Podcast. Since it's February and it's the start of Black History Month, we felt like this would be a perfect time to have a discussion, a conversation just on black movies, black films in general. Joining us, we have Shelton from Black Career.
Appreciate it.
How you doing, sir?
Good to be here.
We're
doing the black thing all the way around, ain't we?
All black. I saw the, what was it, the dude from CB4. I'm black, y'all.
I'm black, y'all.
I see everybody.
I'm black, y'all.
Yeah, so yeah, we definitely going into that. So without, you know, further ado, what do y'all consider a black movie or a black film? What is the qualifications? What are the characteristics of a black film to y'all?
Well, for one, they got to be directed and produced, I think, by a black, you know.
That's what you think it should be.
The director and producer should both be black, in my
opinion. The A celebrity should be black.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, too, because I got rid of the one that I was going to suggest.
Oh, because of that?
Yeah,
because
I was just like, I guess we can't really do mine. So I'll have to go back to my Plan B movie. But, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
I hope your Plan B movie is not the same as mine.
It can't be, because you probably never even seen this movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Any qualifications for you, Ken?
No, I mean, I think I'm the oldest here. I think for me growing up, a black movie was a movie, I guess it's the same as you guys, where it's made by black people for primarily black audiences, because the opportunities to tell the stories they wanted to tell were not necessarily there. I also think about black exploitation films and how they were also tailor-made for black people. It was about stuff that black people like. If you remember Dolomite, that was one of the things he said, karate, titties, and it was something else. But it was so funny because I thought about my dad, and I thought about the people that were my dad hung around, that come around the house, and I was like, that is exactly right. And some of that stuff passed on to me. Like, I remember watching karate movies and all that stuff when I was growing up. So those were black films back then, and then it turned into gangster movies or hood movies like Menace to Society and Boys in the Hood. Those became black films too. Then it went from that to Waiting as Hell and The Best Man and
The Wood.
So it is undergone a lot of changes, and I think now it's in horror. I think that's what we're seeing now. So I think it's just showing us in a light and in different ways that Hollywood doesn't generally give us the opportunities to do.
You know, before we go on, I want to go back. So you think it has to be a black producer?
That's what I was going to say. Like, I'm more loose with my black films, I guess.
Really?
I need, like, director and writer. That's kind of it.
I want them to check all three boxes.
Because, I mean, the producer's hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the producer is kind of just like overseeing the whole shit, right?
Well, they just fund it. From what I know, the producer is the person that puts everything, like, together for you. Like, we'll get you the budget.
I thought that was executive producer.
I thought that was executive producer too.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, just as the role of a producer, you're helping putting it together. The director is the one who just, you know, keeps it moving.
Yeah, that's the important person, is the director and the writer. Yeah. I don't think the producer is really that important.
I don't think so, because I always consider that just funding. Like, whoever just helps you get the movie made.
Gotcha.
And also, to be even go even further, this is where I may differ from y'all. Like, I just thought it was more about just having black leads. I thought a black movie was like, if you have multiple black leads, that's what a black movie is.
Nah, because then Django's a black movie.
Right.
Right.
Jamie Foxx is the lead.
Would that count as a black movie?
Right.
They try.
They kind of try.
They try.
Because most of the people that talk about Django that I've seen, because I don't know a lot of Tarantino fans, like diehards, but like when you bring up Django, all black people I know love that movie.
No fucking bad.
Simple ass. but you know, to that point real quick, just to interject, I think When you take that approach, that's why I'm starting to hear, and I don't know, maybe I heard it from you for the first time ever, people saying that The Lion King was a black movie because
I'm so sick of this
they had
Jason Weaver.
Jason Weaver, and then in the new one, they have Beyonce and all these black people in it. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, is that what you mean? Because remember I told y'all my brother said that the old cartoon was a black movie.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've never heard that before until I got around y'all.
Well, yeah, me neither.
I said it as a somewhat of a joke, but I always thought it was a black film because I thought it dealt with black men's trauma. And, like, when you deal with, I was trying to make it more deep than it was.
You but was reaching like a motherfucker.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, but I just thought because, like, Simba was dealing with a lot of trauma and, like, and dealing with the father-son relationship.
Yeah,
I'm like,
reaching. Yeah. You're reaching like that monkey was reaching when he was holding that damn, when he was holding him over the fucking cliff.
Right.
And then the music too, right?
Well, the music is too, but also I just thought that movie. I love that movie.
That's right.
That movie is one of the. I always love that movie.
Motherfucker played the Rocky theme music and shit. So you always thought that it was a black movie?
No, not always thought, but I can see. I wouldn't really argue against it, but at the same time, it's like, well, it's just animals. They're really black. The only thing you can say is Africa. Animals. It's just Africa animals. Mm-hmm. Like it's just. That's it.
And I guess most of the voices were black. Yeah, they're probably scared to put white people in that because they got in some trouble.
Unless they were in like South Africa.
Still, you got some African ass lions and monkeys and shit, right. And you got Ben Affleck and fucking
Leonardo DiCaprio and shit.
Hell no,
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg, right?
David Schwimmer.
Hell no. David Schwimmer.
Wouldn't work out too good.
Man, that would have been a problem.
Yeah, it would.
Well, so. For what y'all consider a black movie, when people label things as black movies, do you think that that's always a positive thing, or do you see that something positive, or is it something that is like it may be like a slight to it?
I'm gonna read what Rod said because that goes right into what he texted.
Sure does.
He said, "This is Rod talking now.
Not Jason.
Think black movies have always had don't play that man like that." I think black movies have always had somewhat of a negative connotation attached to them. They've always been attached to hood films or Tyler Perry-ish type films. And he says in recent years with directors like Ava and Ryan, I'm not sure who Ryan is.
Ryan Coogler.
Dumbass. They're changing that narrative. So, yeah, I actually agree with him 100%. I think that depending on who you're talking to, when you say, oh, it's a black film, it might have maybe not a negative connotation, but a not as serious connotation. Like if somebody says, oh yeah, there's this dude, there's a really cool black film. You're not really going to be like, oh, well, I'm expecting something that's high quality or acting that might win an Oscar or something. You're going to be like, oh, this is probably going to be some hood shit like Baby Boy.
Or how high,
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Is that based on who you're talking to? And what I mean by that is if you're talking among us, other black people, do you think it would carry that same negative connotation as opposed to someone that's outside of?
Do you even say that?
Do I say it's a black film?
Yeah, like, do you say, oh, this is a nice movie, or like a nice film that I'm watching?
No, I would say it's a black film, but it depends on who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to one of y'all, I think it depends on your inflection. Mm. Like, if I'm like, yeah, it's a black film, that's different from, yeah, it's like a black film. You know what I'm saying? It's different.
Yeah.
So, like, if you tell me, oh, there's this black movie that's coming out that I really think y'all should see, versus Nick telling me, yo, there's a black movie that I really want y'all to see, I'm going to take Ken more seriously than Nick, because I'm going to assume with Nick is going to be some goofy shit. Or not that's goofy
not,
shit.
That's not
like,
a wrong assumption all the time. But
Lion
like,
King 3.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm saying, like, if Nick said it was going to be, like, a black film, I'm going to expect something more along the lines of, like, you know, my man's cheating and now I'm going to go shoot him and then, oh, who shot his sister? That kind of shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's not like some shit you would watch.
What do you think?
Hell no. I think it's positive, but I can, because I love black movies, at least me personally. So when someone says it, I'm more interested in it, regardless if I think it's a goofy thing or something serious. Like, I just want to see more because I grew up in an era where I felt like I was seeing some of the best black films being made. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear this,
give me some examples.
I was about to ask you the same thing.
Well, like I remember watching Jungle Fever. I liked Do the Right Thing.
So Spike Lee joins.
Yeah, but also like the romantic era as far as black.
No, I'm talking about ones from your era. That's what I'm saying.
Like the night. Like
that's,
I have.
That's me, bro.
That's our era.
Yeah, that's our era.
you were still
Jungle Fever. Right. Do the Right Thing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just talking about like, well, because I have older sisters, so they would play stuff for me when I was very young, and they were a little bit older. So like, I consider it my era. Yeah, it's not my era, but like,
so
that late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah,
exposure to me. I grew up watching those films.
Yeah, okay.
So I gravitate toward those movies as well.
I get you.
But like, but now as I got older and I started, you know, researching and just reading about people, conversation having about films, when I see black films and how people talk about it, it's like, okay, now I know that there's nuance to it. There's two sides to it. So now I'm kind of hesitant sometimes to even say it because I don't want you to have any type of filter for it. Just like going to it like it's a black, or it's just a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's a positive thing. But yeah, I guess I've gotten more jaded as I've gotten older.
Shelton and B, what do y'all think?
I'm the same way. I think black films are positive, but it's to me, to be honest, like I said, if, like scrolling through Netflix, for example, if I see some of these films, it need to be something that I can recognize. It can't just be, because you got a lot of, you know, like the independent films. Mm-hmm. I'm not watching a lot of that stuff because a lot of it just seems like it's not high quality. So I'm not going to watch a lot of that stuff. But if it's something that I can recognize, I'm gonna give it a shot at least.
When you say independent films, are you talking about the ones with Omarion in it on BET?
Yeah, those kind of stuff. I ain't watching none of that
stuff.
Oh,
okay. I thought you was talking about like Barry Jenkins or something like
that. Cookout 5. Stuff like that. I ain't got time to watch none of that stuff. But you know, and you can tell from looking at the cover. That's how I can tell whether it's something I'm interested in or not. And some of them will give a shot, but some of it I just skip past.
But yeah. Overall, you think it's positive?
I do. Hmm. I think it's positive to have, you know, just like we had blaxploitation. To me, to be honest, that was black people working. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's still a place for it. Although it can be mainstream as well. Like these new movies like the Us's and like you said, the horror films, these are mainstream films. These aren't black films. I think they're just mainstream movies with black actors.
Mm.
So
really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going back of all the movies that I've watched growing up until now. And I mean, you say, is it negative or positive? You say it can?
Yeah, that's the question. Like,
like when you consider black films, like,
I mean, for the most part, it can be negative because I mean, at least a lot of the black films that I enjoyed growing up, some of them had a lot of negative in it. Like, I mean, I love Men in Society, but I mean, Men in Society is probably one of the most negative, dark movies.
Oh yeah,
that, you know, you can watch. You know what I'm saying? Boys in the Hood, dark movie. You know what I'm saying? I love that movie.
Watch
Juice, dark movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so much negative in us killing each other. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I mean, as I'm thinking back, I'm like, oh, shit, this shit is probably negative. Baby Boy, even though I don't like that movie, but it's just a movie that people love. What? You said what?
Everybody liked Baby Boy.
Stop. Oh, I like
it. Is that's a like random movie that I feel like a lot of black people sometimes.
Paid in Full.
They gravitate to
straight to that movie. If you say black film, my head goes straight to fucking Baby Boy.
Really?
Everybody
gravitates towards that when they say black film.
I mean, it's some bullshit. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's some bullshit.
Terrible ass movie.
If I'm talking to a random person I don't know well,
there's a lot of cliches in that movie.
I'm mad at John Singleton for that one, man.
But it still worked out for him in his filmography though, because people love it. Mm-hmm. You know, as a whole,
he had better movies than that. I think, you know, of course.
But he was trying to show how different he could be.
Yeah. And overall, I mean, for me, I didn't like it. I think it's a terrible movie.
Tyrese was the wrong lead for that movie.
Tyrese was the perfect lead.
Yeah, man. He was.
Acting-wise?
Yes.
He was. Because
you don't need a good acting for a shit.
No.
You really don't.
Right.
It don't mix with it. It's like the oil and vinegar.
Yeah. It wouldn't make sense if it was a good actor.
Yeah. It became one of those hood classics.
It's a hood classic.
So, you know.
It served its purpose.
But I'll say, I guess with Rod, B, and Mike, like, I think there's a negative connotation that comes with black films. And I think what they already illustrated earlier is that a lot of it has to do with the movies that I grew up watching. Menace to Society, Boys in Hood, like, B already
South
named
Central.
Them all. And when those movies came out, while they were telling our stories, the things that were going on and existing in the neighborhoods, they were very dark and bleak, and it was a lot of violence that white people saw, and they just thought that those were really the movies that we could make. you add on blaxploitation films while people were working, you know, a lot of people looked at that stuff as over the top, you know, sensationalism with some of the things that they were doing. Those movies were not taken serious, mm-hmm. but they were for us and we enjoyed them. But Hollywood as a whole, they weren't rocking with those. So mm-hmm. that carried, you know, a negative mm-hmm. image to them.
Mm-hmm. When do y'all think the genre really took off then?
What genre?
Or do you consider this a genre?
No.
What would you consider it as? Like just a category?
It's just a label. Yeah. A label. I don't think it's yeah. a genre because, I mean, a black film can be a comedy.
Mm-hmm. It can be anything.
You know, a romantic movie. It can mm-hmm. be like some horror movie. It can be anything. So, I mean, as far as it taking off, I mean, I think they've always been popular because even in the 70s, we were trying to look for our faces on television.
Yes. Yep.
So we'd go watch, you know, the Shafts and the
Dolomite.
The Dolomites and the Blackulas and that kind of shit.
Right.
Just to mm-hmm. see us.
Yeah, because they had 007 and we had Shaft. Yes. He was our James Bond.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So you don't think there was like a certain era or like a run of like
of when they were what?
Like when they were really popular, really churning them out and like it was really good quality?
I think
some of those
like the
90s. That's what I'm saying. You don't think the 90s?
Yeah, with Spike Lee. Early
Spike Lee era and
Eddie Murphy movies too. I think that those were popular.
Which 48 Hours?
Yeah, 48 Hours.
Yeah, that's not really a black film.
Yeah, it's not a black. Yeah,
you wouldn't consider that new. Because he's the black lead.
But it's only him. See, if you think about all of Eddie Murphy's movies, he's always the only black dude. Except for Death by not
in all the roles.
What's the one where he's a vampire?
Oh, Vampire in Brooklyn.
Yeah, Vampire in Brooklyn.
Boomerang.
And Boomerang. Yeah. But like the ones that got him really popular, 48 Hours, Golden Hills Child. Cop. He's the only black dude.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is white, and that's what makes it so,
trading quirky. Trading Places.
Yeah. Trading Places, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, look at the black guy in the white world. This is funny.
But a banana in your tailpipe.
Like, they love that kind of shit.
But I think he held it up well, though. He was, even like on Saturday Night Live, for example, like to me, he held up the black part strong.
Oh, he did.
So, you know, even
shit, he held up that show. Subject, not like, even just the black know, part. He held up.
But I wouldn't call it a black show just because he was, you know.
Right,
And that's, I guess that's where I struggle because, you know, like even with our show, we only got one Korean on there. I'm like, you are the face of Korea. You can't, it's not equal. You have to be stronger as a lead. That's kind of how I saw it with him. He was strong enough to where he carried the weight of more than, like, black people went to see the film because he was black. You see what I'm saying?
No,
he
I do, 100%. Yeah. But I still wouldn't consider it
a black film.
I wouldn't because either. I don't remember who produced or directed or wrote those movies.
That's true.
Or yeah. No, it wasn't Bruckheimer. Either way, I guarantee it was white people.
He was the draw for black audiences.
Yeah.
I mean, in some of those movies, one could argue that, you know, at a certain point, there may have been some tokenism there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, if it depends on the film. What I was going to ask, though, is that could we say the same thing about Richard Pryor? Mm-hmm. Remember, he was with Gene Hackman. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. Some of his
not
biggest
Gene
movies.
Hackman, but
what was
Gene Wilder?
Gene Wilder.
Gene Hackman is the other old black, white guy.
They all look alike to
me. Yeah,
yeah. I can't remember.
But his partner crazy. Crime. Yeah, yeah, Stir Crazy. All those name? Movies he was in. I think it is Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
I think it is Wilder.
Yeah, Gene Wilder. I say Hackman. But he was like, and because the toy, remember that shit?
Yeah.
So he was like the
only black guy in the white family, the white rich family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But see, I look at, but like, I look at it like Beverly Hills Cop, for example. It's only Eddie on the cover. So,
but at that time, they were only going to really give one black guy a shot. Like, this is the guy.
He was, yeah. It's always one at a time.
Yeah, it went from Richard Pryor to Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
And then it went from Eddie Murphy. I think Chris Rock kind of squeezed in there a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was after him? Can't remember. But anyway, you get
like
the
nobody knew who Judge Reinhold even was. Like,
Kevin Hart.
There was nobody else to put on the cover besides Eddie Murphy because he was the only big actor.
Yeah. Yep. Kevin Hart.
Is that who is now, you think?
I was trying to think right after Chris Rock, but Kevin Hart eventually became that guy, I guess.
Yeah. I would say maybe Dave Chappelle before Kevin.
He didn't do movies, though.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
He only had a sketch comedy show. That's what blew him up.
I guess that wasn't really mainstream. It was a dope movie to me, but it wasn't mainstream.
It was the Coke
Half Baked.
Yeah.
Oh, I never even saw that.
I thought it was pretty mainstream.
It was a good, it was a good movie.
I thought it kind of blew up right there at Half Baked.
I think it did, but I don't think it was meant to be a big movie. It was kind of like just something
that was like
his
soul plan.
Yeah, yeah, it was, but it just turned out to be really good. That's, to
so
me,
it sounds
it's,
like
it's pretty funny.
Y'all were saying like that Spike Lee era kind of made everybody pay attention, like mainstream and like, you know, black audiences kind of met in the middle at that time as far as like recognizing this.
It's because Spike Lee broke out of the low quality stereotype that black, quote unquote, black film had.
Yes.
Spike Lee's movies, he went for a look that looked like what we considered Hollywood white films, but he just swapped out everybody that was white and stuck black people in. So it was different than stuff. And he had strong messages. Yep. And they were fairly artistic, where, you know, stuff like Menace Society wasn't necessarily artistic.
Right.
You know, we watch it and we're like, yo, I see what he's doing, but, you know, a Spike Lee film, it was just undeniable.
You could feel, can feel like the messaging coming out. I feel like Menace Society, like to your point, is like, it's just raw.
It's just raw. Yeah. People getting shot. Yeah. People dying.
Yeah, you can have a conversation about Spike Lee movies and have different sides to it. Like, I got this from it. I got this from it. Whereas a movie like that, we all got the same thing. Like, we got it, but we got the same thing.
Because think about how many conversations Do the Right Thing had created when that movie came out, you know, from different, all different races of people, you know, just because you had the different dynamics from the pizza shop and, you know, the guys in the corner and just like the Hispanic girl, like it was just so much you can gather from that. And he had different people talking about it. So that was dope about Do the Right Thing.
Right.
And you still got, and it was crazy because about Spike Lee movies, it's still stuff that's relevant today, especially with that particular movie. Like, that's insane.
I know we have a conversation as far as why we all got here when we wrap this up, but I do have a question as far as like, what are some of y'all favorite black films? So leave out the one that you're gonna, you know, but what are y'all, some, just pick any of them that you would like to
I
shout
got
out
one. Go Uptown Saturday Night. I don't know if y'all seen that, but that's
what the hell that
Bill
is.
Cosby and Sidney Poitier. It's a little bit before my time, but
yeah, it was like in the 70s.
Yeah, it's a 70s movie, but that was a good era for our movies too. Bill Cosby and Sidney Poitier made some great movies.
What was Bill Cosby's role?
He was in Uptown Saturday Night. They were family men who put them, they worked at the church, and they put the church's money up on a fighter and lost. It's a really good movie.
Was this B-E or A-E? Before his eye or after? How old is this movie? Because I've
it's
never
the
heard
70s,
of it.
It's early 70s. Oh, it's a 70s film. But these are, you know, him. Like I said, him and Sidney Poitier, they really play well off each other. It's funny. Jimmy Walker's in it. There's a couple of people in that movie. But it's a good, it's where Biggie Smalls comes from, that movie.
Like his name?
The name, yeah.
Oh.
That's one of the actors.
I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
I don't know that movie.
Uptown Saturday Night. It's three of them. They made three movies. I'll have to.
And Bill Cosby's
piece of the action.
All three?
Yes. Bill Cosby, Sidney Poitier together.
Why have I never heard?
They are awesome movies.
I probably can't find it nowhere now because they done snatched Bill Cosby's whole existence off.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's good though. It's really worth watching.
For me, one of my favorite movies that I rewatched recently was Devil in a Blue Dress. Denzel Washington.
Denzel, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one either.
It had Don Cheadle in it as well. Like, it was it's a dope film that I think if you haven't watched it, please do. It's like early. I went through like a Denzel catalog run where I was just going through like some of his hits when he was during his prime, and like, yeah, this is one that was like, that stood out to me.
Did you get the Equalizer yet?
That's a book. That came from a book.
Yeah, it came from a book.
Did you like Equalizer?
Easy Rider. I haven't seen it.
Bro,
I saw the trailer and I was like, I want to watch this, but I don't want to.
The first one is way better than the second
one. Don't watch the second one. The second one is
bad.
Stupid.
It looks crazy.
The first one, you got to watch it.
Yeah,
is it actually good or is it some bullshit, but it's good?
Yes.
It's some bullshit, but it's good. All right, I'll give it a shot.
I won't say it's
because you don't like, you're not too fond of action movies, or that's kind of not your thing.
No.
It'll probably come across as some bullshit, but good. Cause there is some bullshit in there. Cause you like, man, like, come on. But as a person that can get down with action movies, I think what he's doing is dope. Especially when you kind of apply like some thought process to like how he goes about doing the things that he does.
I'll watch it. It's worth a watch. I saw a trailer. He walked in the room with a bunch of white people, and he was like, "Oh, you got the black card. I ain't never seen one of these before."
That's part two.
And then they start talking shit, and he locked the door. I was like, "Oh, he about to fuck all of them." Yeah. But then the trailer cut off.
Now, part one is definitely better.
Yeah, I see. He should definitely stick to, you know, his not doing sequels thing.
Mm. Yeah, because that was his first sequel.
That was his first sequel. It's like, God.
Yeah, and I ain't know that either. Yeah, until it came out.
They gave him a bag for that. That's probably why he did it.
I mean, he's struggling now anyway. Ain't nobody running after Denzel.
You think he's struggling?
Who is casting Denzel in, like, serious roles in 2020? When's the last time Denzel was in a role where you...
He had Flight.
Had what?
Flight. That was, what, 2012?
But that kind of leads to... I've never thought about this before.
Me
until
neither.
You said
until
it.
You said it. Yeah.
So you think Denzel
he
is...
He started... Look, whenever you take an actor that's a really serious, dramatic actor, the second they do an action movie, it's a fucking downhill roller coaster.
That's the end of it.
When he did Eli, I said, this motherfucker is on his way out. I'm not saying he's getting worse
as an
actor, but people are not rushing to be like, oh, I gotta see how Denzel kills it. Yeah. Now, he was good in, what was the movie that he was in fairly recently? Where
Fences?
Say again?
Fences.
Fences.
With Viola Davis. Yeah.
He was good in that, but I didn't hear as much talk about that as I heard over shit like Equalizer and Book of Eli.
It got nominated for a lot of stuff.
Did it win anything?
You didn't
like Book of Eli, did you?
No, I thought Book of Eli was fucking stupid. A blind motherfucker running across the goddamn state with a Bible was the dumbest fucking idea.
Whooping everybody's ass.
Whooping everybody's ass blind.
It's the dumbest
and the
shit
only
ever.
Thing he was trying to get to the other side was a Bible.
Right. Mm. Out of all that.
I didn't like the end.
How do you even know it was a Bible?
I didn't like the end, but I liked the journey.
The Bible wasn't even Braille.
It wasn't.
I thought it was Braille. That's what I was going to ask.
That's what I just said. How did he know it was a Bible? It could have been Flowers in the Attic for all he knew.
Right.
I hate when you break down movies like that because it makes it sound worse than what it is.
You got to, bro. See, I walked out with the understanding of everything he just said, but like I said, I was like,
you
I could watch
holding
it again.
On hope. You were still holding on
to
hope.
I did watch it again.
To be honest,
I didn't even watch it again.
I'm more impressed with the fact that for a man his age, he's even attempting to do those movies.
I think it tried to be deeper than what it actually... It came across somewhat as it was trying to be a lot deeper than what it was.
Yes.
And that's what messed the movie up. I think they just should have just let this man just be an action guy, a blind kung fu action man.
I agree. If that's all it was, it'd be like Blind
some
Fury,
Boondock Shit.
I'd have been cool. I'd have been good. I hate fucking Christian propaganda films. I hate it.
That was terrible.
And when it ended and they finally showed what the book was, I was fucking screamed.
Are you kidding me?
Are you fucking serious? Yes. Nobody could find a Bible.
I remember the theater.
The Bible is the most printed book in the fucking world.
Fahrenheit 451. Maybe they burned all the shit.
Man.
No.
That's what I thought. They were saying like that was the last copy, right?
Yes, the last copy of the fucking Bible.
Who else gonna find it?
Except the blind guy. They can't read
the black man.
How did he even know what the Bible say? He blind.
He didn't have to know. God was guiding him there.
Well, God should have guided him a little better because his ass died at the end, didn't he? Didn't he? When he stabbed or something or shot? So, I know he died.
That movie would be in my
catalog. Always dying at the end in a way like...
He does.
There was a movie where he was helping his...
Man on Fire.
You like that? I love that shit. That was my shit.
No, he died by a little white girl. Okay. I can't believe you like that shit.
Because he was a bad motherfucker. Look, I liked the journey. I didn't like the way.
Hold on. Wasn't she half
Dakota
Hispanic?
Fanning.
I thought she was half Hispanic.
She was Dakota Fanning, wasn't it? Dakota Fanning, white as fuck from Conyers, Georgia.
We don't know he died at the end, Mike.
He died at the end.
I thought he died.
Yeah, we didn't see the body.
He bled to death.
We don't know that. We didn't see it.
That motherfucker died and the little white girl
was in the car chilling.
Thank you, Mr. Nigger. And she walked off.
He's gone. He was gone, Ken.
He was a bad motherfucker.
Holding that same Bible.
The funny thing is,
yep. Holding that same.
Why he just called a cop?
He was a... Because he would have got killed.
What do you mean he got killed?
Because he's a black guy calling the cops. They
he should...
I was going to say...
That's a whole other movie. Then. Yep.
It was funny that
the black turned into Queen and Slim all the time. <Would it? laughs> Oh, shit.
Damn.
I like the movie.
The black man taught the white girl to swim. That's what the fuck was. And Man
Wait,
on Fire.
That happened? Yeah, I'll just remember it. Now you know that shit's wrong. How the hell that worked?
And Fences, Viola Davis won Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, good for her.
But damn, you are absolutely right, man. Denzel don't pull the way he used to.
He doesn't. He needs to do more movies like Fences. I feel like he should step away from these action films because it doesn't take anything
just
to
just age gracefully is what you're saying.
Yeah, just do what you're good at.
Yeah.
Right.
You but do we saying? See a lot of blacks like actors age gracefully out like
yeah, Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Morgan Freeman did age gracefully.
Yep.
And that's probably why he stopped doing movies.
But here's the thing with him doing Fences. Did Fences really make like people want to go watch it?
It didn't.
That was like a play.
So how would that
it's based on
benefit him?
But see, no, the thing is, what Denzel did was Denzel jumped out of what he was comfortable with and tried to do something different. Man on Fire. What did we just talk about?
Well, not Training Day.
No, not Man on Fire. Because he killed Training Day.
Of course.
Book of Eli.
Book of Eli. Yeah.
What was that other movie he did where he was like a train operator or some shit like
that? Oh, that was Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, like to Mike's point, once 2010 hits, we get Book of Eli. This is all in 2010. Book of Eli, Unstoppable. Mm-hmm. 2012, we get Safe House, then Flight.
Safe House was good.
2013.
Yeah, Safe House was all right.
2013, we get Two Guns with Mark Wahlberg.
Two Guns was okay, too.
We get 2014 mm-hmm. with Equalizer. Yo. 2016, Magnificent Seven. That's the same year Fences came out, too. And then you get 2018, Equalizer 2. Yeah, he's been doing a lot of action.
Yeah,
now,
man. Yeah.
And I think that's to his detriment. He's I've always said I'm not the biggest fan of Denzel because I feel like he overacts sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think he's a great actor. I just don't think that he should have jumped in. If you want to jump into an action movie, do one or two. Mm-hmm. But he probably saw that those movies make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Money grabber.
It felt like he spaced them out enough to where it wouldn't impact him the way it's impacting him now based on that list that you just read. But...
But he don't do movies that often either anymore.
He does.
That's the other thing.
And if he does it, he's like a director, producer. Because most of those movies that I mentioned, he's been getting like producer, director credits for. Mm-hmm.
So like, he should have tried to find more stuff like Training Day.
Yes, where he could show off his acting chops. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He ain't doing that.
We'll be back after this quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey everyone, this is your boy Nikki Duce, aka Mr. No Disrespect from the No Disrespect Podcast. Sorry to interrupt your show, but if you could please put this on pause and go subscribe to my other show, Dead End Sports, I really appreciate it. We cover everything from football, MLB, basketball, whatever's going on. If it involves a ball, a goal, we talking about it. And we also bring in a few notable guests as well from the Dead End Podcast Network. So again, please subscribe to the Dead End Sports Podcast and continue to enjoy your show. Well, one of the people from the Reddit thread, Battered_Sphinx14, he brought up a question for us to talk about. Tyler Perry just released the movie Fall from Grace, and some people have been saying it's his craziest and worst yet. Curious to hear what the crew thinks of it, but also a general discussion on Tyler Perry himself and his empire/body of work.
We've had a Tyler Perry discussion somewhere. I have to try to find it. I heard that that movie had a surprise ending. I have not watched it because it's Tyler Perry.
And the trailer, I watched the trailer. The trailer's like 4 minutes long, gives up the whole movie pretty much. Yeah. So it was like,
oh, wow. Figures. I will say this about him. We talked about, you know, the studio, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is not about any of that. There's a show that he has on BET, which is
The
Oval.
Oh, yeah.
It is the black version of Scandal. When I tell you this is one of the worst shows on television,
oh, wow.
I am not lying. The acting is horrible. The audio is horrible. And it's not even original. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely horrendous. I watched like 5 to 10 minutes. I had to get up and leave. And I was over at my father-in-law's house, and he had it on. And him telling me what it was about was more entertaining than what I was watching on the screen.
There was
that's what is bad. Yeah.
There was another show I tried to watch. I guess he had a deal with BET because he's just churning out them shows. It was called Sisters. And I was watching it with a woman, so that's the reason why I was watching it. But I still wanted to see, like, what has he been up to lately? And it's the same beats.
Bad, man.
It's the same beats. Like, I'm like, damn, how much drama and shit you're going to put into the show for everybody got to have some shit.
But you can't make it good. And that's the thing. You're not making it good. And I appreciate because it felt like he was giving actors a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate that, but they're just bad actors. They got to be better actors out there than what he's finding. And if you're giving actors like that a shot and they're not good, then what good are you really doing outside of employing them? And someone could argue that that's the benefit and that's the good you're contributing back to the community. But if the product doesn't do anything and it only brings down his catalog of work.
Mm-hmm. So is that I feel like people talk about him in two different ways. It's the empire versus the body of work. Like, it's not like some people just want to focus on one. Like, for me, when I think of Tyler Perry, what he's done is tremendous. However, but when you talk about he sounds like a great guy. He sounds like he's a pioneer. Can you show me a film of his that you would recommend? I'd be like, right. you might as well stay away from that shit.
Yeah.
And that's crazy for me to say that about someone who seems to have a huge impact on not only just Hollywood, but the black community.
Yeah, I applaud him.
Impact on Hollywood?
What he did with that, you don't think that studio that he built
I don't
is
think
not,
Hollywood gives nope. half a nope. shit about
they don't.
That.
Really?
No.
That's a black they thing.
That's a black thing,
because
really,
think
yeah.
about it. Tyler Perry, he's not hiring white people. Yeah. And it's not like he has white people flocking to his films.
Exactly.
So the only thing he's doing is creating something for a niche black audience. Hollywood doesn't give a fuck about that. Black folks still going to go see Avengers.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They will only care if The Oval and whatever this other show you were really good and people were talking about it.
And they are, but in the name.
Have you heard of The Oval? Have you?
I've heard of it. I never thought to watch it.
If you watch it, it looks like a skit. Really? It looks like a Dave Chappelle skit.
When you said it, that's my first time hearing about it.
Dave Chappelle skits were good.
I'm telling you, because it's like what Ken said. It's literally just a version of Scandal that's like, oh, if we were to make fun of it, this is what it would be like.
Wow. It's a parody.
And Scandal was already kind of going out there too. But like, yeah, this is like, oh yeah, this is just, it's a parody.
So that's the thing with him. Like, you're making this low, low quality work that you think is serious. Because, mm-hmm. and that's what I feel. And I don't know if he's as good of a guy as they're saying, because I remember that whole thing with I guess when Boondocks were making fun of him, mm-hmm. and you know, there's, he called around to Hollywood and had them take it out and stuff like that.
Take it off, yeah.
Yeah, so, and maybe that was a brand management thing. They was just trying to control his image, and I guess if that's what you want to do. But I don't know.
Even Chris Rock made fun of him.
But you know what's crazy? I'm looking at this, and I watched that movie. I did watch Fall from Grace. It said that 26 million people watched it the first week, as opposed to 10-time Oscar-nominated The Irishman. 17 million watched that. So he's doing something. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, he has an audience. He clearly has an audience. You don't get this big without, but his audience, it's just like, I don't want to judge the audience.
No, judge the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. But because it's just like, these movies are not of quality. As far as like, you wouldn't really recommend this to anybody who's not just sitting on their couch, trying to kill time.
It's mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of like, I guess it's like watching a train wreck. You watch it knowing that you're not going to be completely satisfied at the end, but every time they put it up, you watch it. You know what I'm saying?
It's like scripted reality TV, mm-hmm. but in a movie format.
So you watched it without giving it away, of course. What did you think of it?
The same thing I think about the rest of this stuff. I just, like I said, just sitting there.
You watched all his movies?
A lot of them. I am because he's black. You know, pretty much like that. But now, Why Did I Get Married and Why Did I Get Married Too? I like those movies. For some reason, I thought those were good movies.
They were actually okay.
Yeah, other than that, everything else was terrible to me.
But I like Jill Scott was in those, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I like Jill Scott.
I like Jill Scott, too.
Now, Family, that's probably why I like Family That Prays was the best one that I've seen him do.
Which is,
to me, that was
Family That Prays. It's got Sanaa Lathan in it.
I ain't seen that one.
I thought that was okay.
Idris Elba.
Oh, Daddy's Little Girls,
I guess.
He said with his elbow.
Yeah. Why Did I Get Married and Why I Get Married Too? Those, like I said, they had a little humor in them, and it was just good. They had Janet Jackson, Jill Scott, and they were decent movies to me.
But you know what the issue is? I've only watched that Daddy's Little Girl in full. only because I was over at Christmas and the family was putting the shit on. Because mm-hmm. I fucked up and said I've never seen a Tyler Perry film. Mm-hmm. Oh, baby. You got to see the one with Idris Elba.
And that was and that was corny. Like
it was corny as fuck.
Yeah, the,
but I've walked in
the on gangster.
Oh, the one that beat him up in the bathroom or whatever. Yeah. It's like, this, what the fuck?
It's just, yeah.
Give me, but I've seen bits and pieces of some of his other films. And when I walk in, I'm always just like, how is this any different than some bullshit you'd find on like the WB or UPN or TBS? Or is it TBS or TBN? Whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. Like, this does not look like a professional movie.
Right.
And then when you get down to the plot, it's like, are y'all serious? Like, right. This is what y'all are heralding as the next big black filmmaker? Right. Mm-hmm. This was Spike Lee had to make The Sweet Blood of Jesus for?
Right, right.
This is bullshit. Yeah.
He didn't evolve from the place.
Let me ask you this.
That's a great point.
Who is the white version of Tyler Perry?
Michael Bay.
I was going to say Adam Sandler.
Is he a producer?
No.
Michael fucking Bay. Because white folks love Michael Bay movies. Because all he does is blow up.
What is a Michael Bay movie?
Fucking Bad Boys 1 and 2, Transformers.
Well, besides that.
Oh.
Bad Boys 1 and 2, we'll give him a pass
on that. Yeah. I mean, I'm just naming movies. Like Transformers.
Armageddon. Isn't that him?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Armageddon was him.
It's just all he does is blow shit up and have a whole lot of, like, expensive stuff flying around. That's his thing. So
expensive stuff.
You know what I'm saying? That's his thing. And Tyler Perry's thing is, let's show black people in peril.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And black people... We kind of flock to seeing us, depicted that way.
And like I said, it with him, it was the plays, and that stuff works in plays. And so now it's still the same thing.
So is the issue, if he was blowing shit up like Michael Bay, would it be okay? Is the issue the black people in peril, that sort of black trauma that he's profiting
off
of?
That's not my issue. My issue is I think he's a shitty filmmaker.
Yeah.
I think he makes shitty stories. Like you said, he casts shitty actors except for Idris Elba.
It's all put together.
And what's the other guy? Boris Chestnuts.
Yeah.
He has a couple that he'll get for these whack movies, but on average, I just think he makes very bad films.
Yeah. So do you think would you say he helps or hurts, like, the representation of black people in the film industry?
I don't think he helps or hurts it, because it's not like we're doing any better with white folks.
And white people not really watching the shit anyway.
Well, that's true, too.
So,
but if white people did, it's not going to help or hurt us in any way. You know, I don't think when I think about Tyler Perry and his impact, yes, I think he's helping the black community. But I just don't like him on a cinematic aspect. That's all it is. I don't have any problem with him as a person because I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know about the whole South Park thing.
Well,
Boondocks or whatever.
He just recently came out and said that he doesn't really have a writer's room. He writes his own stuff.
Yeah. He's,
like everything. All he of does,
it. That ain't shit to brag about. Your movies are not written.
All of it.
And that was the main criticism that he was getting from the fans, was just like,
That's like Blueface being like, yo, I write all my raps. Dope. Like, maybe you shouldn't.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, they were like, maybe you need a writer's room. But then he was saying that in the past, he got screwed over by certain writers because every time you have to do a rewrite, you have to pay extra for that. So he just was like, he felt like writers.
That's part of the game, Tyler.
He felt like it was a scam.
But we're saying he needs a writer's room, but $25 million don't feel like they need to.
Yeah.
That he needs one.
$25 million or people?
People.
25 people that watched that first movie
but
doesn't
was
feel
was his
that
movie
way.
Rated well? Because Netflix ain't going to give him another shot if his movie was rated poorly, right?
I think they will.
I'm going to do
25 mil
views. because they're watching it anyway. Like, it's several people that think that these films are whack.
Let me see what he got.
They're still going
to
watch.
Yeah, but if 25 people show up to that movie, and then that movie ends up getting rated like a 4.5, then Netflix knows that those 25 million are probably not going to show up for the next one.
But with his, they will. You see what I'm saying? Because just think about the one before that. His movie before that was trash.
What was the movie before that?
What was his movie right before? Let me see. Like, he's
was it on Netflix too?
No. I think this is his first Netflix release.
Was it that one with Taraji, the one that we did, Acrimony or something like that?
No, that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was your jam. Nah, he was talking about Acrimony for weeks.
He was.
I didn't see it, but
it got
it. It was pretty good too. I forgot.
1.5 star.
You're
on Metacritic.
Fucking liar.
Nah,
you are a fucking liar.
A 34% rating.
Netflix ain't giving them another shot, bro. I bet you money.
But I think they will. When it comes to these streaming wars, content is king, and whoever we can get the most eyes on one thing, they'll.
Yes, but if the but look Netflix
Family Funeral, that was the
Netflix one. Don't want to have a track record of movies that are rated a 1.5.
Oh, that's true.
They don't want that.
But like I said, with him though, he still, even though his, it's like you said, the Blueface example. Some of these rappers are whack, but they got their audiences.
Mm-hmm.
He's like that. He's going to have these same people. They might not be 26 next time, but 20 million people still going to watch.
But Netflix don't need that. Netflix don't need that. Netflix is making enough money where they don't need.
I think they're greedy though. I think they want it all.
I don't know, man.
I don't think they're into it for the content and tech, like, you know, we want great content. I think they just like, let me get these people watching. They want to see Tyler Perry, we can give them Tyler Perry.
I think Netflix, yeah, you're right about that part, but I think that Netflix also doesn't want to end up like, say, like a Showtime or a Cinemax, where it's like, all right, I'll give this shit a shot, but it's probably not going to be good. Like, Netflix wants to be known for, like, yo, if we have original content, it's worth a watch.
Yeah, that's why
if you're getting a 1.5, clearly that shit ain't worth a watch.
That's why they've been doing that lately, ever since they kind of, you know, changed the rules on what is considered a film as far as when these awards come up. That's why they've been pushing to get the Oscars for Irishman, Marriage Story,
yeah,
you know, all this other stuff that's like.
And now Fall From Grace. Is Bad Boys considered a black movie?
Yes.
No.
To me it is.
Is it?
I'm asking.
I would have said yes before, but after we were talking about it doesn't have a black producer or writer.
I would
have
said so before today.
Yeah, like from y'all characteristics, no. But for me, like coming in,
I kind of want to say yeah too.
I just think, especially when your A and B sides are both black, I think it is a black movie.
Like, I'm surprised it doesn't have a black writer, because there was some black ass jokes.
I know.
I heard that.
It was improvising a lot.
Probably so.
I heard that Seth Rogen wrote some jokes for Bad Boys 2.
They probably put insert joke here. You know what I'm saying?
And just let them run.
Yeah, you do it. Do what you do.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. So can we swap it out? So can we say, okay, if it has a primarily black cast, have like a black director and writer, et cetera.
I think it has to be one or the other.
Okay.
Because the cast is kind of half though, right? Because after Martin and Will, you got the captain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got the girl. What's the girl
the fine one, the Spanish one?
I just
you got Martin's family though.
Yeah,
they considered a part of the cast.
His sister, because what's her face?
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle was in the other one.
I'm thinking of the first Bad Boys. I'm just looking at the first.
That's what I'm talking about.
Or like his wife. His wife was in it.
Yeah, his wife's been in all of them.
Okay, I'm just.
I don't know.
Then the two guys, the Hispanic partner and the white guy.
I mean, we included in the family. Like when we think about, like, it's going to be, if you go to a black person's home, you're going to see Bad Boys.
Yeah. I think that if A and B, definitely it's a black movie. If the top two actors are black, it has to be a black movie.
I don't know anymore,
because it's about them. You know what I'm saying?
It's because, like, now it's more about the question of, is it more about black representation or coming from a black mind?
So is Independence Day a black movie?
Hell no.
Enemy of the State.
Who was in that?
No,
Will Smith.
Was he the only one though?
Yeah.
Him and Regina King.
What about the other movie? The one with him crying in the bathroom.
Oh, Pursuit of Happiness.
That one is.
Is that a black movie?
That's a black film. That's a whack film.
Yeah. It is, but I think it's a black movie. Yeah. I think it's black because it's
Pursuit of Happiness?
Yeah.
I would say
him and his son.
It didn't feel like.
What about After Earth?
That's an afterthought.
Or iRobot.
Right.
I don't know.
It's more about.
Yeah, that was two black people.
Right.
Hey, look, A and B were both black and Gemini, man. Yeah.
That's true.
So, yeah.
A and B.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I would consider Bad Boys a black.
I guess you kind of can you?
Yeah. Damn, that's a good one. But I never looked at Bad Boys to be like, okay, that is a black film.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say no. I want to say yes.
But if you type in African American films, it'll come up.
Yeah, because it's, you know, because there's two Negroes.
That's enough.
Yeah, but who makes these rules? It's usually white people.
Yeah,
and they're gonna say that that's a black film because it got two black people.
Well, usually it's a black film if it's like the whoever's on the main poster.
That's how I took it. Like I said, that's why I said Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay,
because Eddie Murphy's on the poster.
So I pulled up a list. So I typed in black films. So I'm gonna read off a few that I think may. Black Panther, is that a black film?
Yes. But even though it was not a black writer, I'm sure it was
a black writer. Ryan
Coogler.
Ryan Coogler.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, he was a director, wasn't he?
Yeah, he wrote it and directed.
Yeah.
Okay, and that definitely counts then.
Yeah.
Let's see. Malcolm X. Who wrote that? Spike Lee, right?
Yeah. Yes. Boy, I can't believe you. Yeah. I can't believe you questioning that, Ken.
Close that laptop on.
I'm looking for Bad Boys, honestly.
Glory.
Who wrote Coming to America?
It was a white guy.
I'm sure it was a white guy.
So is that a black film?
Yes.
Man. Oh, man. See,
I think we're going to have to. Who wrote What's Love Got to Do with It? Because I would say that's a black film.
Ike make that a black film.
Tina Turner, Brian Gibson. Who the fuck is that?
You going to eat this cake out of me.
Yeah. He's director. He's white.
Of course.
I don't know. We got to rethink this.
Yeah.
Because some of the movies that we consider black films or black people love are directed.
They're just
white
black
people.
Led films.
Yeah.
But they're not really.
But what's blacker than What Love Got to Do with
It? Why is that movie black? Hey, it's just a black dude beating up a black woman for fucking an hour and a half.
Well, I was
looking at it. And then she finally get away.
The positive side of Tina Turner's Rise. But yeah, you can look at it that way.
That's true, too.
Damn, yeah. The Five Heartbeats.
That's a black film. That's got to be
Robert Townsend.
Robert Townsend. Yeah. Okay, we're good.
He's written and directed.
Cooley High. That's a black film. Yep.
Hollywood Shuffle.
Yeah, that's a black film.
I haven't seen Bad Boys yet. They got Dreamgirls on here. I don't know. I don't follow directors like
that's
that.
Sparkle.
But like, what about Color Purple?
That's Steven Spielberg.
But that's a black.
Damn,
a lot of people consider that a black film.
Yes. Yeah.
Steven Spielberg, I think he
produced it, I think.
I think he written and directed it.
I don't see Bad Boys.
He didn't write that.
Nah, Color Purple's a book.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Duh.
Hold on, let me see.
He could have done the screenplay.
He definitely directed it.
They got
Quincy Jones did the music for it.
So I did one. So I clicked on 100 Best Black Movies 21st Century. They got Fast Five on here.
God damn.
Antoine Fisher.
What is that? Keanu? Yeah.
Keanu?
See, Drumline, this is some bullshit. This is a joke.
This is on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way.
This has got to be a fucking
Keanu
joke.
Keanu definitely caught it because is.
Oh, Love and Basketball.
Keanu technically is a considered black film because Jordan Peele and Keegan Michael Key wrote in
Ghost Dog.
What the fuck is Ghost
with
Dog?
With Forrest Whitaker?
That ain't no damn black film. Isn't he the only black dude in it?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. That soundtrack dope as hell, though.
They got Barbershop on here. Ray.
Ray with Charles. Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't even
think. Hustle and Flow.
Whoop that trick.
Yes.
Yeah, Mino Mayhez wrote the screenplay, and he's not black. This is for Color Purple, I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. The Princess and the Frog. I'd say that count.
That black.
I never even heard of it.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't consider that a black film.
I'm trying to see if Bad Boys on here, but anyway.
You seem like it's not. You struggling to find it.
Yeah.
Well, it's rolling real fast because it has a cover that I recognize.
Look at you just passed, though. Look Django. At you just passed. Fucking Django. So I feel like when it comes to
Tarantino, black, ain't he?
Yeah, he wishes.
He wish he was.
I feel like when it comes to how people categorize these movies, as long as there is a black lead, they'll call it a black film.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of racist.
Well, I think it's a compliment because it says that the black person is dominant.
No, what it says is we notice that this is different from what we consider normal.
I feel like you're looking at it like it's the one drop rule for films.
Bad Boys.
Kind of, yeah.
For the record, Bad Boys did not make that list.
Yeah, because it was at all. Produced, written, and directed by a white man.
But Django.
Yeah.
But I think it's more about the story has to deal with
because you could drop
certain culture. Because like, yeah,
you could drop two white men in
Bad Boys.
Bad Boy.
Like, I know how you look at Bad Boys, but I'm just saying like it originally wasn't
so
meant
it could
to
be Starsky and Hutch.
It technically could be
right
because there's nothing really.
Well, I think B said it best: the black Lethal Weapon. But
well, Lethal Weapon had a black dude though.
So, but you don't consider that a black film.
I think Starsky Hutch is a better.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Well, hold on. Lethal Weapon 4 could be considered a black film because wasn't that with Chris Rock? And,
Monster Ball only had one black person in it.
Monster's Ball is a black film?
Nah.
How the fuck?
They have it on
that's
the list.
Not a black film.
Is that the one where
so Bad Boys can't make
that's
this
make
list?
Me feel good. Can you make me feel good? I hate.
Can you make me?
That's literally the.
Wasn't Diddy in that movie?
Was he?
I think he got like electrocuted or something. No. He got killed.
He was. He was a criminal.
Yeah,
right. He sure the fuck was.
Snakes on a Plane should have been on this list.
Yeah, before Django.
And Monsters fucking
what
ball.
About the other movie that Samuel Jackson played in? Shit. It was this white girl in it.
Oh, you talking about Black Snake Moan.
White girl on the leash chain.
Ah, hell nah.
That should be a black film.
That should be on this list.
That's how we do these white girls, boy.
I swear, I thought that was a porn. I was like, bro, they got Sam in this porno. He fell off. So
I can see that meme. When you said it, I can see him setting it. Oh.
Man,
but we also not only did we want to have a conversation about black films, but I think Mike, you brought up this idea, right?
Yeah.
As far as Mike had the idea, it's Black History Month, and this is frames per second. So, what better way to showcase our knowledge of films, but just doing a recommendation of black films to each other for us to review? This is kind of like a rewatchable type of edition of things. So,
the black version.
So who's going first?
I could go first.
All right.
Because can you mention one of the movies that I was going to...
Django.
Nah. Antoine Fisher. The one... it was Denzel.
I don't know what that is.
It was Denzel.
I've watched it.
It's Denzel's first... it's his directorial debut film. It stars Derek... I think this is Derek Luke's breakout role.
It was.
Because I at first I had a different film, but for feet. Hey,
you seen, I'm sorry, you seen Notorious. You saw the movie Notorious by Biggie?
Yeah, but I don't really remember.
That's your recommendation?
No. No.
It was Puff.
He was Puff. He was the guy that played Puff. Yeah. If you want to know who the main character, Antoine Fisher.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know his real name.
This fool.
But yeah.
That could have been your recommendation, but I like it.
Denzel directed it and produced it as well. So, yeah, I wanted. Just get y'all thoughts on that one.
Okay, Antoine Fisher for you.
I haven't watched it since it came out.
Yeah, me too.
It came out in 2002.
So I know. Yeah,
I haven't watched it. Yeah, haven't,
18 years later.
So I'll tell you, I had two choices before, and I couldn't decide. And I was originally going to go with Candyman. I felt weird about it. Because Candyman is not really a black film. He was in love with a white woman, and they lynched him and cut his hand off. And then he came back and started fucking all these hoes up.
He was in the hood in Chicago.
He wasn't Cabrini Green. So part of me wants to say it's a black film.
Yeah,
but I'm sure I don't know who wrote it and directed it. I'm sure Clive Barker wrote the story.
Okay.
Did he direct it too? He probably did.
Yeah.
And Clive Barker's far from black.
He is.
So and Candyman was killing black chicks too. Mm-hmm. It's a personal favorite.
You remember the little boy that was in Candyman?
Yeah, one that talking about, if you lose that, you may as well be dead.
That's it. He's from here. I know him. He's in Baby Boy 2. You remember the boy that he was whooping
too?
Baby Boy is West. You remember the one that was getting whooped in Baby Boy? He whooped him with the belt? When they stole his bike, I think it was. Remember, they had him in line, and he said, "Oh, you think you tough?" And he whooped him with the belt.
Yeah,
That's the same boy. Yeah,
I never even
he played. That. He played both those parts.
I mean, only thing I know him from is Candyman.
Yeah,
I
just had to mention that since we were talking about how bad that one film was. And now we're talking about
Candyman's a lot better than Baby Boy.
So he came full Candyman, circle.
What is it?
I heard you looking for Candyman, bitch.
Yeah,
part of me does want to say that movie, but I would just feel weird being Black History Month to be like, all right, here's a movie about a black man in love with a white woman.
Getting his hand cut off.
And then getting fucked up.
Right.
So my second choice was Bamboozled, only because it's my favorite Spike Lee film. So I feel like my conscience says I would have to go with Bamboozled. I feel like if I went with Candyman, they would eat me up on Reddit.
Mm.
Like, of course, Michael picked a movie with the black man in love with the white bitch. So I feel like I can't.
Verbatim.
That's exactly what would happen.
That's probably what the comment I'll put.
Yeah, so I feel like I'd have to go with Bamboozled. Because, I mean, I think you've never seen Bamboozled, right?
Yeah. I've seen all Spike Lee joints.
I'm sure he hasn't.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, you fucking up.
I keep missing it.
Yeah, you fucking up.
I couldn't find it.
I mean, that's prime Spike Lee. Spike Lee was on the run.
It's his most underrated
film. Yeah, it is.
No one talks about it.
Like, people always talk.
It's his most creative movie, in my opinion.
I'm going to watch that. I got to watch it.
That's what it is. So what was the one that you said?
I couldn't find the DVD. I got it, but I didn't have the DVD.
Mine, when we were initially talking about it, was The Legend of Nigger Charlie. I think the difficult thing would be finding a way for all of us to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll work on that to see. And then I'll need to come up with a backup movie for us to watch. And I've been thinking about that. So let me think a little bit more. B, what you got?
Harlem Nights.
Ah, God dang.
Harlem Nights. Harlem Nights.
Yes, sir.
Perfect black. I mean, all black. All written, produced, directed by Eddie Murphy. Music by Herbie Hancock. I just love that movie. I mean, I like the fact that you have a movie. Well, I don't want to talk about it. Never mind. You know.
Tales from the Hood. Blank Man.
Meteor Man.
Bones.
Yeah.
With Snoop Dogg. With Snoop Dogg. Hell no.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can get Legend of Nigger Charlie. You can rent it for $3 on Amazon Prime or YouTube.
Oh, wow.
So we can do that one.
Is that the one you want?
Let's do it.
Well, no, mine. It's hard for me too. I got two because I go old and I go new. Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily new, but older and old. So old, I always do my favorite movie of all time, which is Which Way Is Up? Richard Pryor.
Mm.
That started the whole like
multiple plan, characters. Yeah,
that changed the game.
Yeah, that's just an amazing movie to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is
that
about
damn
it.
Preacher.
Yeah, the preacher was the funniest thing.
He was the funniest motherfucker in that movie.
Oh my gosh! And then, I had two other ones. I was thinking about Cooley High, but that's something else. Because
mm-hmm.
it had that's old. And Five Heartbeats, of course. But
oh yeah, the Temptations movie.
Temptations of Five Heartbeats is always the argument for me.
Eddie Kane.
Yeah, either Eddie Kane or David Ruffin. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yep. Those are classes, man.
Man.
Yeah, I like y'all's, man. Bamboozled and Harlem Nights. Mm-hmm. Man. Antoine Fisher, huh? Leave the Nick, boy.
I've never seen it. So.
No, because I was going to
be. No, it's
going to
be interesting. No, 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 no. No, do it, because I think it's going to be an interesting discussion.
Mike, you seen Which Way Is Up?
I have, but I don't remember it. I saw it a long time
ago. That shit is
a same thing, but I definitely enjoyed it. So, yeah, I like that pick, too.
Yeah, I really wanted to go with a black horror film, but there's not really.
Vampire in Brooklyn. Yeah.
What happened to Bones?
Vampire in Brooklyn was it.
What about Count Black? So I can't believe they have fucking Dwayne Wayne out here.
I know. And the ghoul and shit, ear falling off, hand falling out.
So bad. That, to me, that was like, all right, it's over for him. Like he was like after the different world projected.
Yeah, we haven't seen him since.
Yeah. Mm-mm. What about Leprechaun in the Hood?
No. Oh my god!
No. Like right, it's not. Hey,
but
it's
you,
not
but no black what was the one the you said? You said it. The Tales from the Hood.
Mm-mm. Oh yeah, Tales that from was
the shit.
Or you could do scary movies.
That was
are those black movies?
Yeah,
with the Wayans brothers.
Technically, you could consider it.
Could you? Because there's, I mean. Just them are they the leads? They're not even really the leads. The leads are always white people.
They're not in it. Yeah,
they're in it, but they're not leads.
They don't have to be leads, though. Mm-hmm. They're in it.
Nah.
They directed it, right?
Yeah, they directed
it.
They
produced it.
Wrote it?
Yeah.
So what is? What about White Chick?
What is the best black?
They in that, too?
That is a black movie.
Hey, what is the best black horror movie, though?
I would have said Candyman before today.
I guess.
I mean, I kind of still want to say Candyman.
Would you consider is Get Out in that?
Yeah, I mean. Because I typed in black horror movies, because I mean there really aren't.
It's not.
They got another movie. He got another movie coming out now, right?
Yeah, he's redoing Candyman.
Oh, that's what that is.
Jordan Peele is. Yep. Mm.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of black horror films, but in my opinion, there's not a lot that I really enjoy.
Right.
There is a documentary thing that came out recently called Horror Noir that I think is pretty cool that talks about. The role of black people in horror.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But again, when it comes to like, what are my favorite horror movies? None of those movies are in there. So,
Is Ma? No. It's a black horror movies that came up.
That's some trizash. Beloved. Remember that movie?
That movie wasn't bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think there was a quotable out there. I can't remember the line, but I think people were saying stuff out of that movie too.
Why they got Juice on here?
As a horror?
How the hell is Juice a horror movie?
I know, right?
Not at all.
Riverside, motherfucker.
Yeah, about, that's all they got.
Have you ever seen Death by Temptation?
Of course.
Yeah, I've seen Death.
That has Dwayne Wayne in it too.
Yeah, yep. His little preacher friend.
Was it really a horror movie though?
It was, because she was like a vampire. Remember she was seducing his friend, his church going friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
Petey Wheatstraw.
The fuck is that? That's a rapper.
No, that's I ain't looking at it now, but that's Dolemite.
Oh, isn't there a rapper named Petey Wheatstraw too?
Devil's Son-in-Law.
That's a rap man. Pee Wee Longway.
Yeah. I might be thinking of Pete Pablo.
A good black horror. I will say this, though. If you want to see, and Mike will agree with me on this one, if you want to see one of the blackest characters in a horror movie, watch Night of the Demons. The black dude in there, and Roger. You talk about someone that was truly acting black,
bruh.
But I feel bad because, like, he was such a bitch.
He was.
Whatever. But anything happened, my man was.
He
out.
Was out. That was out. That was the blackest. Man, that's what made right. that shit so he's black, so, though. Yeah.
That's what makes that movie so good.
The scene that I tweeted you a couple years ago when, remember, they was all getting cornered in by the demons.
Oh, he jumped out the window.
He was like this. I swear to God. He looked around.
He sure did.
He said, "Fuck this." Not me.
Yep. Yep.
That's
what's so good about that movie, because, like, typically
the blackest moment ever.
Dude will always end up dying.
The
white
lived.
Girl,
yeah.
This motherfucker lived to the end, and that was not a common thing for those movies.
It was not.
But they made it very obvious. Like, the white chick was the one that was fighting the demons. The brother was gone. Every single time they showed up, he was gone.
He ran.
Yeah. He wouldn't even tell them, "Yo, we gotta go." He just like, "Ah, bitch, yes, I'm gone."
What Night of the Demons?
Movie.
Yes, I'm about to watch that.
Yes. It's one of my favorite horror movies.
Am I getting that messed up? There was a black guy that survived Night of the Living Dead, right?
No. So what is amazing about Night of the Living Dead is he makes it to the end. So this is what makes George Romero such a fucking a visionary for that time was he made the main character black. He lives until the very end of the movie because he's smarter than everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, very forceful. He gets killed by the police at the end of the movie.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right.
He's in the
right.
window. They think he's a zombie, and the police kill him.
Yep.
And when you look at that movie now, 20 years later, you're like, God damn. Like, this dude was really seeing some shit.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that movie came out in 68.
Right.
1968.
Right.
Talk about a game changer.
They're going to get you, Barbara.
What you think of the remake with Tony Todd in it?
It's good.
Yeah.
Which one are we doing first?
We can do yours first.
Let's get the bullshit out the way first. Fuck you, Karen. I think it's going to be an interesting rewatch. Hmm. So we're going to start off with Antoine Fisher to kick things off. And we'll see where it goes from there. I know it's going to be some great commentary with it. Then we have Mike's with Bamboozle, B with Harlem Nights, Ken with Legend of Nigga Charlie, Shelton has Which Way Up, and we're finishing off with Rod with Moonlight. So on the FPS Podcast Reddit thread, please drop in your recommendations as far as movies that you would like for us to review, black films that you would like us to review and rewatch. We will be selecting one person. We may do more than one, but for right now, we're just going to start off with one. And also, you have a week once this releases as far as to put your recommendation in. That's 1 week, 7 days. I'll be watching the Reddit thread, so make sure that you put it in, and we'll get it to you as soon as possible. So, all right, that's us for this week. We out. Peace.
Peace.